And welcome back. And here we have another fine evening, hoping that our juicer friend Yakim doesn't go out in a little bit of a flame of glory here. As a recap, let's see, in our last game, Yakim still captured and controlled by the Splugorth slavers and slowly becoming a little bit more familiar with the expectations here. He is, for all intents and purposes, now he is cattle. And given an opportunity to test out his fighting prowess, the Kitani, who I actually gave a name and now I need to go check it out, he handed him a gun and had actually hoped that as Yakim took an opportunity, he saw the slaver that had captured him, bringing him down below, and Yakim decided to take his shot. The shot was true, but the damage wasn't enough, and so he had to be punished. And poor Yakim lost more portions of his memory, flitting in and out of both the expectations. I'm sorry. Adjusting volume while I'm trying to go. It's so unprofessional. But Yakim was put through his paces. They found out if, what the augmentation actually did. And as part of the last experiment that Talia, the Kitani scientist who's experimenting on him, performed, was to see how well he could fight against, against somebody who had been augmented through a way that, well, quite frankly, we hadn't seen before. And as this relatively young, normal-looking woman is brought into the ring, they begin fighting, and Yakim is pulling his punches, not sure if he's, being expected to take the head off of some poor, unaugmented, civilian. And instead, he finds himself in a well-matched fight. In the course of that, he takes an opportunity, cuts across when he sees a moving bulge across this woman's torso, and hidden underneath her clothes was a crab-like creature, reaching from just underneath her armpits all the way down, just behind her ribs, multiple arms that had been effectively almost chemically attached to this woman. Now part of her, and dead set in the middle of the mouth, or in the middle of the crab's back, is a large mouth with almost like what looks like an intestine that's just wailing around on its own, lamprey style teeth in the middle of it, attacking all around. And Yakim, he noticed it. We did not give him a fear check, so let's go ahead and get Yakim's character sheet up. So we jump right back into it. So Yakim needs to make a spirit of a D8. And now let's get our handy dandy dice tray camera. There's a 3 and a 6. Okay, so Yakim keeps enough of his mind about him. He sees this thing moving around, what the fuck is that? Pulls a sword up quickly. And Talia comes over, sees him, and we're going to go into... Let's see if the scene progresses the way that we expect it's going to. This is 3. The scene is altered. Let's throw in a scene adjust roll. Make 2 adjustments. 1, remove an object, and increase in activity. As Yakim kind of stops himself, though not paralyzed by fear, he sees the thing kind of come at him, pulls the sword, the long sword that was handed to him, and suddenly it is stripped out of his grasp. The woman just begins screaming and crying, not quite sure on how she can actually even get control and Yakim is just now like fighting this thing off as it is like lashing and attacking at his face. I believe I remember reading that they get a fighting die of a d8. Rolls a 1. Let's see if it's critical. Nope. So, the creature comes snapping at him. He wraps both hands all the way around this thing's neck, or what he assumes is a neck, and suddenly he is just fighting with all of his might as this creature is just lashing, trying to catch on to him. And he starts screaming, like, "What the fuck? Get this thing off! Get it off!" Poor woman crying is trying to pull herself forward just to get away to make sure that this thing doesn't kill Yakim. But she's not sure even what's going on. And between her sobs and the crying, eventually Talia comes over, presses a button on a keypad, and the woman and the creature attached to her chest just begins to shriek. It begins to growl and snap in all directions, and she just, "No, stop, I'll stop, I'll put it back." Yakim, kind of turns over, gets back up onto all fours, and just, "What in the fuck? What did you do to her?" And Talia, "Well, as it turns out, that, we have found ways to augment the mortal form that doesn't require this crude manufactured chemical enhancement." Yes, it's very important that we understand the biology and the comparisons. This was an evaluation to determine if your crude augmentations could surpass one of the chest grabs." He goes, "You call it a chest grab? What the fuck is wrong with you?" And Talia just kind of squints the kind of primate eyes, just with all too high intelligence, just kind of examines him, looks him up and down, and goes, "I don't think you're one to be able to judge. You hooked yourselves up to so many chemicals that your body is burning out like a star." He goes, "Yeah, it's gonna be a bright fucking star when it goes." He goes, "Yes. And that'll probably be in weeks." And suddenly he presses a button, and Yakim shakes. Let's see, I'll give him a vigor check to see if he can withstand the, 2 and a 1. Nope, I'm not going to Benny that, not this early. He stops what he's doing, and suddenly the entirety of his vision goes black. So, went to a vision, chaos factor of 6 at the end of the last scene. I'm not going to modify it because I modified it after the last session. But as Yakim kind of wakes up again, let's see. Let's say 4 days have passed. Yakim, in his cell, just kind of opens his eyes. Okay. Well, let's see. I'm gonna give him a smarts roll. Cause that's what juicers are known for. So I just love playing with fate. We're going to give him a smarts roll to see if he understands kind of the expectations on him. A 1 and a 4. Yeah, a wild eye. That's enough. He's counting off the days now. He's okay. It's been 4 days. No major experiments. Okay. Just important. Keep the mind sharp. I know the body's going to stay sharp as long as it can hold together. Damn, it's hot in here, though. And he kind of adjusts his, he's not wearing a collar. He's pretty much just in, whatever they're going to put him in. I would assume he's probably wearing just modest, like, tattered pants, right? Primarily, they wouldn't give him much more than a shirt or something because that can be used to hide. And right now, he has property. So I'm going to give a fate question, though. This is going to be a fate question of, did the other human who was captured with him, did they take the farmer out of here? No, they didn't. So as Yakim goes about the kind of like daily requirements on him, He starts stumbling around, and he sees his good friend, this farmer who was taken at the same time he was. And, hey man, look, ain't no real chance that we can fight our way out, but if they're giving you free rein, maybe we could figure out a way to just walk out. The farmer's like, no, man, they killed somebody and then they ate him the other day. Do you understand how fucked up that is? Akeem's like, yeah, no, I fucking understand how fucked up it is. But that ain't a problem, right? Because they gotta kill us first. And we're not gonna make that easy. And the farmer just, dude, it will be that easy. Like, I'm not you. I know how to use, like, the right size fork and super fancy high meals because, you know, my ex-wife taught me, but now it's just a matter of, I can't fight these things. And Akeem just like, look, man, if we do this right, we ain't got to fight them. Just hold tight, wait for my cues. I'm coming up with an idea. So I'm going to roll to see if Akeem's actually coming up with an idea. So we're going to do common knowledge. Oh, shit. Blows up 6 to an 8 with a raise. Yakim's coming up with an idea. What is Yakim's idea? So let's... this will be a good one. Let's find a really interesting... Let's roll on a twist. Connection diminish. Connection diminish. What is the twist? Connection diminished. I'm trying to think of how this would actually play out. So maybe what this means, connection diminished would be, maybe what this is that the Splugorth, because of the location, the issues in the area, all right, I have an idea. Fake question. Are these Splugorth being hunted? Yes, they are. Okay. So, Yakim, wandering around on a couple days later, comes up and he sees Talia. He goes, hey, look, I gotta ask, man. You keep threatening to ship me off to Atlantis or something, but you ain't shipped me off yet. Fuck you doing, and why am I still here? And Talia looks him up and down and goes, that is a rather astute question. Let's see. I'm going to give Yakim a persuasion check, D4. One day I will put an extra die into that, because he's actually had to talk to a few folks. Come on, D4. Don't fight me. There you go. Now, 6 blows up. It's an 11 total. And what did we say Talia's? Katani Commando has a spirit of a D8. Okay. Got to beat an 11. He gets a natural 1. But it's not a critical failure. So Taya kind of looks him up and down. And there's a modicum now of not quite respect, but almost like a curiosity and an interest that Taya is starting to take. Because, we are being looked for. You know, it's natural that we have to maintain a low presence here, and that as things keep moving forward of our own progression, eventually, you know, we make enemies. He goes, oh, you made enemies, huh? It's a coalition, and not the only ones on this continent. Taya looks at him and goes, oh, no, we're not terribly concerned about them. If we wanted to, the Splugorth Atlantis itself could wipe your domain of man right off the map. No, we're not worried about that. And why would we be? You guys think you could take on the coalition? He goes, well, it's not even a question, really. Yeah, see, my race as it is, we have already fought some species, some creatures and things that you have no idea on. Things that you would never have heard of. We once fought off the Great Hive of the Mechanoids. That's where my race lost our home planet. But, no, that's not the issue here. No, I don't believe that they're native, but there is a race of very powerful female entities that ride across giant beasts that make up the eastern seaboard. And, well, there was a particularly painful pack that we had bumped across. Fortunately, we had found this, you know, secret base here. They won't be finding us, so you don't have to worry about that. But until we have the free corridor to be able to leave, then we are effectively just waiting for reinforcements. Oh shit, you're talking about the Shimmerians, huh? I had heard about them. I never meet the Amazonians myself. He goes, yes, Shimmerians. But I have never met them either. No one in my race actually heard about them until we came to this planet. That's not surprising. The expanse of reality itself is pretty expansive. Yeah, you came up with it yourself? It's like, don't make me push the button. All right, man. All right. As he kind of steps back, his hands up, I'm going to try to give him something here. See, Yakim, when I made him, took a edge, or it was one of the, what is it called? It was one of his table rolls at the beginning on his hero's journey. And with it, he got the thievery edge, which gives him +2 and a thievery die of a d4. So Yakim is going to try to steal a key. A 2 and a 5. So that's a 7 total. The truth is, I'm going to spend a Benny on this because, oops, wrong direction, Paul. He goes down to 1 Benny because I want to get one of the rays. I want to make it very difficult for Talia to see this. So the 4 blows up. So that's 7 on the die. +2 is a 9 total. And Talia has a notice of a d6. And then you got a 3. Okay, so let's take a look at Talia's gear. Utility belt. Yeah, he would definitely, as Yakim kind of comes by, he brings a tray over. And on that tray, there's just a variety of various things on it. And for a second, he kind of sees a glint of something. It looks like a small card. And with the deft quickness, Yakim just pilfers the card. Stamped on it on the outside, it says, property of the United States government. And on the other side, there is a golden eagle. And though the letters have worn very, very faint and very thin, there is just 2 letters and what looks like I hate it when I lose my words. Initials. And I just say, M-A on them. And Yakim just, all right. He slips that into his pocket. So now the question's going to be, I think that was a good scene. Chaos Factor, I'm going to actually drop just a little bit. Yakim just learned a couple of really good things, and I'm going to actually add one of them to the threads list. We're going to call this this thread Shimmerian Huntresses. All right. So now that we have the Shimmerian Huntresses on there, let's roll The scene alteration, let's see. Nope. Looks like we're going to go right into scene proceeds as normally. So Yakim, I think, would start taking this key badge around, and when he thinks he's not being noticed, he's going to try to open whatever doors he could. So I picture here. Let's give it to the fates. Is there one for rooms, locations, dungeon, monsters? There's kind of one like a dungeon traps now. So we'll just go over to the dungeon button. Lethal. Normal. Okay. So I would say one room, obviously, is the armory. And the next room is okay, I can't see it. Rustic Ancient. Okay, Rustic Ancient. This might be the old mechanic shop. Because naturally, oh no, it says rustic. Oh, it's kind of like a, now it's used as a collections of artifacts, right? They've gathered up all the pieces for the remains of the U.S. Army that had built this place. And rustic, I'm interpreting as a little bit of legacy, right? Maybe there's some wooden panel pieces. Maybe there's a conference table that just has seen better centuries. But maybe also there may be something in there that could be hidden that might help. So let's roll a third room. A heavy mighty. Okay. Heavy mighty. There is a robot and power armor vehicle bay attached. Of course there would be. The Kitani would be using that. They would be using that for their own weaponry, for their own rebuilds. So we've got an armory. We've got a general collection of like random artifacts, and then we've got the Heavy Mighty, which of course is the robot, like repair bay, vehicle bay. So, does the key card open the armory? That would be the first place Yakim would look. 63. No, it doesn't. Yakim comes up and just. Meow, meow, meow. Does the key card open the army junk room? 59. No, it doesn't. So, last fake question. Does it open the vehicle bay? Exceptional, yes. So, this key card, Yakim, as he's passing by, he comes up and just bam, boop, boop. Oh, shit. All right, okay. This is good. All right, so it goes in here. What the fuck is in here? The door slides open, and he peers in just, oh, fuck, okay. Man, that's a lot of shit. And, suspended by heavy chains right next to repair bays, each one with a local arc welder, computer station, diagnostic terminals, everything that an aspiring mechanic or apparently a crazy Kitani, you know, mad scientist could want. Draped from these things, almost like hollow husks of some long demented creature, Yakim sees the power armor and the robot armor that the Kitani primarily use. And with it, he has a moment where he realizes why Talia said that he's now worried about the coalition states. 30, I would say, power armor suits, some of which designed to look like they are long serpentine snake bodies with just robust power armor on top, heavy bladed axes and a shield. And obviously hidden within each one of these is a, like, bristling with weaponry. It's so obvious that this thing could, one of these could probably take out the entire battalion that Yakim struggled with. But even further on, there are other sights and shapes, other pieces and nastiness. One that looks like almost a modified dragon with a beetle's carapace along its back. From the cockpit all the way down to its feet is maybe 45 feet. And then from the tip of its nose all the way to the tail, it's almost 200 feet, bristling with cannons the like of which he had never seen. Missiles that are just sitting in bays, glowing with some unknown energy at the tip. Further on down, he could see even scarier creations. There is a couple that look like they are centaurs with that same robust upper body strength that the serpentine-looking one has. This one carries a long lance that is just attached to the back with like a simple clip. Nikim just looks us over and he's like, "Oh, fuck me, man. Okay. Nah, it's kind of intense. All right, so fuck, can I get in here?" And he starts going to some of the different bays, and this card opens all of them. And Shaquem just begins flipping through. It's almost like a kid in the candy store, except for the fact he's not trained in how to use power armor, so... All right, maybe I could... Fuck, I don't even know. I don't know. I'm gonna look for... What would be a good one here? No, not combat actions. Let's roll an object roll. It's an 84. Strange. Useful. What the fuck? Strange, useful. Yeah, thanks, fate. Everything here is strange, but useful. Oh. Right next to that is the magic item table. I have an idea. Heal, imitate. All right. Have the Splugorth stashed a lesser rune weapon here. So, I really want him to, but I'm going to say it's very unlikely. Put my fingers crossed for Yakim's sake. Oh no, 57, no. There's not a lesser rune weapon here. But, what would be a heal imitate? But what Yakim does see, as he's walking through, hoping that nobody saw him come in here and hoping that there's nobody else in here, when I'm going to give him a notice roll, he looks over, D6 and D... he doesn't notice this thing approach, skittering up behind him on these long, long legs. They almost look spider-like. There are almost gossamer threads of hair, just barely thicker than a human finger, multiple jointed, but they are colorful and beautiful. Deep, satiny reds and blues that connect, coming up to a green carapace that looks like a almost like a body that has two very basic pseudopods coming off of its thorax. It has multiple eyes that kind of blink out of unison with each other. And small mandibles that just begin to open and close with a slight clicking noise. And as Yakim, looking around, this thing approaches and suddenly... Kim stops. He's like, "Fuck, was that noise? Oh, fuck." And as he turns around, he sees this thing and just, oh fuck. Let's see. I'm going to give him a spirit check for a horror roll. That's a 7. Okay. Okay, so he doesn't go into a fear check. But let's give him a notice roll, a -2. Five and one. So that's three. No, he doesn't make that one. Yakim kind of goes into a combat stance. And he just watches and waits for this thing. Unarmed, of course. His sword is taken from him after that last battle. But the thing comes up. And with one long leg, it comes up. Just starts tapping him. And then withdraws quickly, backs up, gets out of range. And Yakim... trying to fight me? I don't even know what the fuck you are, and I don't know if you can hear me or understand me. And then a slight voice comes into his head. It's very soft and gentle. It goes, I have no wish to fight you. I've not met your kind before. He keeps like, are you talking in my head? God, I fucking hate it when people talk in my head. Fuck are you? What are you doing? Are you going to kill me? I have no intention of killing you. I have no intention of hurting you either. Okay. Then. Fuck are you going to do? I am going to observe your wounds as I have never seen one so close to the throes of death. Okay. So you're gonna fucking shadow after me and follow me and watch me as I die? Yes. I don't believe you need to die, but I... wish to observe this. I can help keep you safe. He goes, okay. This place is too fucking much. That's weird. So let's give Yakim. Would this be survival theory? I'm gonna say it's kind of an unskilled. He doesn't know what this thing is. He doesn't know what to expect. It's a one and a two. No, I'm gonna... He feels that this might be an important moment to make a decision. Two and a four reduced down. That's a two. So he just kind of goes, no, man, I don't know you. I don't know what the fuck you want. As far as I know, you're going to report back and tell on me. And the creature just... I understand. I will be keeping an eye out for you, human. I still wish to observe you. And on these long legs, it begins to skitter backwards. The light catching along its relatively like jewel-like carapace. It scatters a little bit of the different colors into the different directions as it moves. And Yakim just watches it go and just... Goddamn, I hope this is a bad trip, because what the fuck? Because I just had a goddamn crab ragoon come over here and tell me that he wants to watch me die. Tawny, I don't think you were the crazy one. He's like, damn, I miss her right now. I could really use her ass kicking. So, Yakim gets a good inventory. He knows that there is worthwhile gear in here. You know, power armor suit, even for somebody who's not trained in it, it's going to take a negative two to all the rolls, but it's still a far cry better than nothing. But we're going to bump the chaos factor up a little bit because that was not what he was expecting. Go into a scene alteration roll. For interruption event. NPC action and oppress death. Oh. So Yakim keeps his card hidden. He comes out. The door slides behind him. And he notices, of course, the reason that nobody caught him. So there's nobody around right now. What the fuck? Okay. It's like, it can't be good. He tucks the key card just along the side of his pants. And he starts moving forward. Goes by the cages. There's no one there. Goes by Talia's workshop. And eventually he sees the open door into the old United States conference room, where a handful of these bug-eyed, just needle-like teeth, alien-looking creatures that he has learned to know that they are called as overlords. Whatever race or species they are is long gone. They're just now referred to as the Splugorth overlords. Talia is standing against one wall, his impressively long arms wrapped around him as he's watching. But right up front is this purple-skinned, bald face. Almost looks like a little bit of a pig face, but melted, almost. A melted wax pig face. But the thing stands at almost 8 feet tall. Broader than he even remembers seeing Julian the First. Yakim watches and observes, like, what the fuck is going on? This can't be good. Oh, shit. And as he looks up, the farmer is standing there, his hands clasped behind him.
This isn't worth it. This isn't worth it. This isn't worth it.
And as the man begins to cry, the melted face creature just and a couple other voices start responding. So, have they found the farmer conspiring? 71, no. Did they find the farmer was faking his Zombietron? Exceptional, no. Oh, okay. Exceptional, no, which means that they didn't find out that he was faking a Zombietron. Maybe what they found out, he is immune. And so, the farmer. Okay, I like this now, but... The farmer standing up there, one of the conservators, or one of the overlords comes over, and it's the kennel master. And as Yakim watches in horror, they lift one of these black pseudopod-looking leech-like creatures that he knows puts him into the zombie state, and they affix it to the farmer's forehead. And he's like, no, please don't put the thing on me, please don't put the thing on me. And as it affixes, it just... And then it just scampers off. The thing drops down to the ground and begins to move towards the Kaidan, the giant purple Hulk-looking creature. And the farmer just goes, no, bring it back, I can do it again. And as soon as the creature begins to go off and somebody picks it up with a pair of tongs, puts it back into the container, the rest of them turn back to the farmer. Let me check. Is it Kaidan? I never knew how to pronounce this because I only saw it written. Kydian. I'm going to say it's the Kaidan. Kaidian? If somebody knows, feel free to drop me a note. You could say it in chat. You can send it to me over a message. Yeah, Kydians. Kaidians. Alright, so the Kaidian. Reaching over, or not even reaching over shoulder, from where he was standing at attention, he pulls forward and this glaive-looking weapon in his hands. He pulls it up with two hands, but instead of it swinging it like an axe, as one of these is usually used, instead he points it as there is a hollow tube at the end. He looks over to one of the overlords, and the overlord just nods. Yes, it's good. And suddenly he pulls the trigger. There is a bright light, intense plasma discharge, It slams into the back of the farmer, and he begins to scream as he is burned away. The pressure of the explosion of what happens to the farmer takes mere seconds, but for Yakim, it burns into his retinas. He looks and he goes, "Fuck, there goes that plan. Shit." And he stops looking, because while the plasma continues to burn, there's still a sound, this echoing scream that permeates throughout the entire place. And Yakim, for the first time, really feels afraid. So I'm going to end that for tonight. Thank you for joining me, for those who joined on Twitch. For those who are listening on the podcast, of course, I'm streaming on Twitch just for if you want to watch me roll my dice. Mostly just to see me roll my dice. But also, you can join us at Patreon, patreon.com/dying sigh. Pick us up wherever the podcast is. Feel free to rate and review us. Feel free to be honest, too, about how terrible my editing is. I hold no compunctions about that. But otherwise, I hope you all have a wonderful night.